from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up, we discuss a proposition on the November ballot that would allow homeowners 55 and older to move to more expensive homes but maintain their lower property tax bills from their old homes. The measure could help ease the housing crisis as empty nesters downsize and free up their family homes for the marketplace. But opponents raise concerns that lost property tax revenue that mostly goes to public schools would harm education in California. We'll hear about the measure and we'll take your questions. Should those over 55 get a tax break if they move to more expensive homes? It's all next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. As part of our election 2018 coverage, we're going to take a look this hour at Proposition 5, which would give a property tax break to homeowners age 55 and above who buy and move into more expensive homes. Proponents say the measure would free up housing stock by incentivizing seniors to sell their homes, but opponents cite a report from the Legislative Analyst Office that found local governments could miss out on as much as $1 billion in revenue a year, and some figures estimate even higher. We're going to discuss the pros and cons of Proposition 5, and let me tell you who is going to be in that debate. Let me introduce first Steve White, who is president of the California Association of Realtors, who joins us by phone from Pasadena. Welcome to the program, Steve White.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Good to have you. And also good to have Graham Nouse, who also joins us this morning from Sacramento. He's executive director of the California State Association of Counties, and we welcome you. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Great to be with you.
Great to have you all both, and we will have a debate between these two gentlemen. But first, Scott Schaefer joins us. He's senior editor, of course, for KQED's California Politics and Government Desk. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. Well, let's talk about Prop 5 and what it is. Let's have you lay it out for us before we have these gentlemen lock horns on it. First, we should say this was a proposition that is not to be confused with Proposition 60, right? I mean, there are 5 or 10 counties now that allow this, but this is statewide. This hits Prop 13.
Yeah, might be easiest to go back a few years. This, of course, was put on the ballot, Prop 5, by a citizen initiative, so to speak. Signatures gathered, and it'll be on the November ballot. And it harkens back to really 1978 when voters passed Prop 13, which dramatically reduced property taxes in California. It also capped the annual increase. It keeps property taxes low as long as you stay in your home. If you move to a new house, then, of course, it gets reassessed. Voters twice amended Prop 13 to expand it a little bit. In 1986, they allowed seniors and severely disabled people to transfer that lower property tax to a new, less expensive home within the same county. And then 2 years later, with Proposition 90, I believe it was, voters expanded it a little further to say that those same categories of homeowners can take that tax advantage with them to any county if the county agrees to accept that lower assessment value. And there are about 11 counties that do that, including 3 here in the Bay Area, San Mateo, Alameda, and Santa Clara County. And as you said, Prop 5 would expand it further and say you can do, if you're 55 or older or disabled, severely disabled, you can sell your home and buy another home in any county in California. And whether it's more expensive, the same or less, you can take some of that tax advantage that you have had by staying in your home for a long time and apply it to the new home. It would be reassessed. There's a formula that is part of the initiative that probably your guests can go into a little more detail. But so it could be assessed up, but it would be kept lower than it would be if you just sold it and, you know, paid market rate assessed value on property taxes on that value.
And this is not only for those 55 or older. I mean, it starts with the baby boomers, but the same protection would apply to the severely disabled and would also apply for those who are victims of natural disaster.
Yeah, and so it is an expansion. And, of course, supporters say, look, if you're a senior right now, you're an empty nester, your kids have moved away, you've lived in the same house for a long time, you've got more house than you need. But a lot of people feel frozen in place because if they sell their home and move, they're paying taxes on a market rate value and their tax bill is going to go up. As a result, a lot of people don't move. Now, some do. About 85,000 homeowners in that category do move every year and do pay the higher property tax, presumably, although you know, this would enable them now to move to any county and not pay a higher tax, or at least a market rate tax.
So we're going to hear the debate between the two gentlemen that I introduced at the top of the program. But doesn't this debate seem to focus a great deal on the one hand, you have a housing crisis, you want to provide more of an incentive to move, and on the other hand, money that could go to schools and money that could go to support security and the like?
Yeah, the legislative analyst, which is responsible for analyzing ballot measures, as you said at the top, estimates that it will cost in time up to $1 billion or more in lost revenue to counties, which now get property taxes. They use that money on schools and services. And under the state constitution, if local government loses that money, the state will then have to backfill that money. So the money won't be lost, but it'll be, you know, the state will be on the hook for that money. Now, critics of Prop 5 say, look, this doesn't do anything to alleviate the housing crisis. It doesn't call for any new homes to be built. It doesn't do anything for renters. It doesn't do anything for, say, young families who would like to buy a home but can't afford to get into the market. And then, of course, counties oppose it as well because they worry about the lost revenue that would come from from Prop 5 if it passes.
Well, it also qualified for the ballot by nearly 1 million registered voters, and a lot of money has gone. We'll hear, as I said, from Steve White, but a lot of money has gone into this from the Association of Realtors and the Realty Industry. I think even though unions, firefighters union and police unions, are opposed, they haven't put much money into it.
Yeah, the California Association of Realtors and their national counterpart have put over $7 million into this already. Some of that has been spent to collect the signatures that you referred to, and presumably more of it will be spent to get this passed. And while there are plenty of people who oppose it, they don't necessarily have a lot of money, certainly not $5 to $10 million to fight it. So it's unclear just where that opposition will come from and who will make the case against it.
Well, we're going to hear both cases. Scott, good to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Scott Schaefer, again, a senior editor for KQED's California Politics and Government Desk. And again, we're discussing Proposition 5 on your November ballot. Steve White from the California Association of Realtors with us, and Graham Nouse, who is executive director of California State Association of Counties. Let me begin with you, Steve White. Can you predict the effect on the housing market of this? Do you have any metrics?
Well, certainly our data show that, like the legislative analyst's office, their analyzation showed that there would be tens of thousands of new transactions per year. Our data shows that that would be roughly about 43,000 new transactions per year. These would be seniors that, as you had said, feel frozen in their homes to free those homes up for ready, willing, able, and qualified families to purchase those homes. And that's about an 11% bump in the annualized number of sales that are happening currently in the state of California.
And from your perspective, Graham Nouse, what about the alleviation of this housing crisis? We'll get into the effect it would have on counties in a moment, but don't you see that as a potential good thing or not?
Well, I think it's certainly true that we have a significant housing crisis in this state, but I do believe that the premise of Prop 5 and what the realtors have laid out is just flat out false. There will not be one new house that is built as a result of this measure. For those seniors that folks are maybe concerned about, that's exactly why voters have previously allowed for seniors to move out of their home within their county and can downgrade to another home if they so choose. They can do that and move their Prop 13 property tax value with them. That's already in place. That is existing law. That's already been addressed. And so this focus on transactions by the real estate industry and not on housing is incredibly unfortunate, and it really underscores the self-serving nature of this proposal.
So let me cut to the chase here. You see it and you're opposed to it not only because of the loss of monies to counties, which we alluded to with Scott before, but that it's a costly giveaway to wealthy homeowners and the real estate industry.
That's exactly right. That's the bottom line of this measure, is that it is about those who are wealthy, providing a new tax break to them to allow an unlimited number of moves to more expensive homes all across this state. That translates into a lot of real estate transactions, which Steve White and his colleagues are interested in. And bottom line is that it is school children, it is communities, it is public safety that will pay for this costly, misleading proposal.
And Steve, what you say, what to those arguments?
Well, first of all, the opposition seems to be focusing on just more expensive homes. And certainly this this proposition as proposed would allow somebody to purchase a more expensive home and transfer their Proposition 13 tax bases with them. But it also allows anybody of any price, a purchase of a home of any price. So I don't want to focus just on more expensive homes. I mean, seniors are feeling trapped in their homes economically, and they need to move closer to grandchildren, children, health care. And in many cases, that could be less expensive homes than they're currently in. The Proposition 60 only allows somebody to purchase a new home within the same county that they're in. But California is a big state, and families have moved, and children and grandchildren and health care may be in other counties across the state. So this is this property tax fairness initiative, it cleans up confusing and inconsistent law. It's not a silver bullet, but we need to start somewhere. The housing crisis is multifaceted. This, while it is true, this does not create new housing or new construction. That is just one facet of what needs to happen in the state of California to solve the housing crisis. And this is a great start for California's seniors and disabled folks and disaster victims. Let's not forget the disaster victims. Over 10,000 homes were destroyed in disasters, mainly fires, last year in the state of California alone. We don't even have a tally on 2018.
Well, you'll get more property tax, clearly, but you're also going to be losing revenue. Again, I'd like you to address a legislative analyst's nonpartisan report on this, that there would be, I mean, some figures upward of $1 billion in terms of money that would go, again, for schools and security that were touched on by Graham Knopf.
Unfortunately, the legislative analyst's office did not accurately examine the broader picture. More home sales at a higher assessment could more than offset Proposition 5 senior, disabled, and disaster victim benefits. When you add in other economic activity associated with sales, real world such as payment of fees, housing renovation, and benefits, the benefits would be substantial.
Let me go back to you on that, Graham Knopf's response.
So we should be very suspicious of analysis that that disputes the legislative analyst office by those folks who would most benefit from this proposal. The legislative analyst office is a nonpartisan, objective, independent body and has determined that there would be a $1 billion loss to counties and an additional $1 billion loss to schools. This measure would unravel local services to the very seniors that the real estate industry is claiming to assist. And as it relates to disasters or folks with disabilities or seniors, right now today under current law, they are already protected. This is already addressed, and it's addressed in a way that doesn't unravel the ability of communities to meet the needs of their members, including public safety. Both the sheriff and fires are in opposition to this measure. Local government is. Housing, seniors, health organizations, teachers. There's a reason why we have such a broad opposition coalition to this measure, and it's a function of it not addressing the housing crisis and it unraveling the ability of communities to provide for their residents.
Talking about the Property Tax Fairness Initiative, it will be on the California ballot in November. It's called Proposition 5, and I'd like to hear what listeners have to say or ask. Let me invite you to weigh in. You can do that right now. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, and we welcome your calls and your thoughts. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQED Forum. You can also post questions or comments onto our Facebook page. Graham Nouse is with us, Executive Director of the California State Association of Counties, and Steve White, President of the California Association of Realtors. And Steve White, can I get you to address the fact that the realtors have spent about $7.2 million on this? That would seem to be a strong interest in terms of seeing it for profit margins.
Certainly. Putting a proposition on the ballot in the state of California, the costs are very, very high. That most of that money was spent on signature gathering through that. And I want to go back to the Legislative Analyst's Office analysis that Mr. Nouse mentions. The LAO has already admitted that the initial loss that they said was high, and they've updated that. And I just want to point out that given that the LAO only does a static analysis and not a real-world dynamic analysis, looking at all of the economic activity that happens around home sales, the California voters and homeowners are not getting a real-world picture of the economic analysis in this issue.
And we're back to the Legislative Analyst's Office. Graham Nouse, you want to respond to what you just heard from Steve White?
Well, the Legislative Analyst's Office is the body that is best equipped to objectively determine the impact of a proposition. That's something that they have expertise in doing, and they bring a lot more independence than the real estate industry would bring in analyzing their own initiative while focusing on the 43,000 transactions that would occur for their colleagues. We need to remain focused on the $1 billion in lost revenue that would occur to local governments. We need to focus on this initiative removing $3,000 for every classroom in the state of California. 10,000 teachers would be lost as a result of this. Fire service would be reduced. Library service, public safety-related service, the ability for communities to meet their health care needs. All those are in severe jeopardy over this initiative. And we do need to focus on the housing crisis, but we need to focus on the housing crisis in a way that doesn't dismantle our communities and that actually results in building new homes here in the state of California.
All right. Let us hear from our listeners. And we begin with Jennifer, who's calling us from Oakland. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I'm president of the Peralta Federation of Teachers. And we represent the faculty at the four community colleges across the Bay. And I'm wondering, for the Yes on Prop 5 folks, isn't it true that the only people that are going to benefit from this initiative are those who can afford to upsize or buy a more expensive home? And, of course, the realtors who will sell them those bigger homes. And why is it that our schools and the students should suffer in order to give more to those who already have so much?
Direct question to you, Steve White, about the beneficiaries and those who will be hurt by this.
Again, current law only allows somebody to purchase a less expensive home within the county that they live in. There's only 10 counties, starting in November, there will only be 10 counties that will participate in that program. And you have children, grandchildren, and health care that have relocated to many counties in California that people need to move to. So I want to focus on the fact that this would allow seniors 55 and older and disabled homeowners and disaster victims to purchase a home of any price. Downsizing often means that somebody purchases a less expensive home and not a more expensive home.
I'd like to hear what Graham Nouse has to say about that. But also, Graham Nouse, we're talking about schools, and there was a whole study done up in Sonoma County that showed that there would be a serious loss to the schools in revenue loss and so forth, which may be in some ways representative of what we're talking about in terms of consequences here. But what about this being just for the question the caller raises about more expensive homes for those who can afford them?
Yeah, I mean, current law allows seniors to move within their county and across a number of counties that cover the majority of the population in the state. So that issue is already addressed in terms of what's in place under current law.
It's only 10 counties, though. This would be statewide, right?
Yeah, well, it would be statewide, and it would be an unlimited number of times and allow folks to upgrade their homes to something that's more expensive and would ask the communities all across the state, right, schools, counties, local government, to fund that increase.
As opposed to the present law, which only allows one move, right?
It allows one move. That's right. And so if you are an elderly person looking to move out of the home that you've been in for a number of years, you may do so and hold your Prop 13 base property value and move to a home of equal or less of value under today's law. And so that addresses the issue that the realtors are claiming to address. But to allow folks to upgrade to a more expensive home and require communities to fund that, require schools to reduce the number of teachers that are there, to reduce the amount of revenue that's in those classrooms, to reduce the sheriff patrols, to reduce the ability to respond to fires when we are in the midst of significant disasters all across this state. It is unconscionable to ask communities to fund a significant tax break for the wealthiest of those around us and have the vast majority of the community severely negatively impacted.
All right, I want to get another caller on. Leslie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm a senior homeowner in San Francisco, and I understand the existing Proposition 13, and that would be great, but we cannot even afford to move within San Francisco under the existing thing in a home of lesser value. So my question is, could this help someone in our case where we're not in a higher income bracket, but we definitely need to transfer our property taxes?
Steve White?
It certainly would.
It would help her, you're saying, yeah?
Because it would.
And Graham Ness, you disagree?
Well, I think that's exactly why under existing law there is authority that counties have to honor that property tax being imported for that one time for a home of equal or lesser value. So it may not be in San Francisco, but it may be in a number of other counties that are part of that transaction, which is specifically intended to ensure that communities are protected and that there is choice. This would allow for an unlimited number of choices for an upgrade of the home that's there, and ask all of us to pay for that with a reduction in services.
Let me thank Leslie for her call and read some comments that are coming in. Brandon says, seems like housing, at least in the Bay, is majority owned by older white investors who have multiple homes throughout the county and country anyway, and this appears to be another method to make the rich richer. Please change my view and give me a better perspective. Paul asks, how can a proposal be called fair taxation when it provides a financial advantage to a single group of people, which is not available to everyone? I'm over 55 and would likely benefit from this program if passed, but I still oppose it. And Nancy says, we older homeowners live in homes that are ideal for families and when reassessed would bring in substantial tax revenue, but we're not going to vacate these houses under this proposition because the incentives work against downsizing. It's bad policy to allow this tax relief only for people buying more expensive homes. We'll hear from more of you when we return. You can join us again at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email us forum@kqed.org or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking and debating Proposition 5 in this hour of Forum and our election coverage, and it's called the Property Tax Fairness Initiative, and you may have some thoughts about it. We do indeed want to hear from you if you do. We're talking to Steve White, president of the California Association of Realtors, and Graham Naus, who is executive director of the California State Association of Counties. You can lend your voice to this by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Let's go to another caller, and that's you, Kate. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to share our situation. I think we could really benefit from this. We live in Oakland with our young son, and my mother-in-law is currently in Solano County. She's in a home, and she would love to be closer to us. So we're looking at condos and townhomes in Oakland that are near us. And those are at least $200,000 more than the home that she lives in. So she'd be downsizing from a single-family home in Solano County to a condo in Alameda County, but it would cost a lot more. And this could really benefit her and, by extension, us.
Thank you for your story, Kate. And Graham Nuss, what would you say in opposition to that story? She's saying it would help her.
Well, I think she highlights exactly the challenge we have in California, which is that we have a severe housing shortage. And the reason why there's a significant that houses are so expensive in California is because there's a shortage in overall housing stock. This initiative would not address that at all, and instead would unravel the services that would exist in a number of those areas. So we think it's important to remain focused on the vast majority of Californians who would not be assisted by this measure, but who would pay for moves that would occur across the state. And there is an absolute real challenge in terms of the price of housing that is far more significant than the property tax component to it. And for those who have suffered a disaster and are working through that rebuild process, they are already protected under the existing constitutional structure. There are a number of counties that allow the transfer to occur on a one-time basis. The challenge with this proposition is that it allows an unlimited number of moves to more and more expensive homes, and it's the communities that end up paying for that for those transactions. And so it's not a one-time move that the realtors are proposing. It's an ever-increasing amount of moves to more expensive homes that is allowed on the initiative, and we all would pay for that with the reduction in services in our communities.
Yeah, well, this Steve White, I know you want to respond, but Aida, one of our listeners, says, please address the issue of people buying cheap houses and then flipping it for a more expensive house and taking the tax advantage.
Well, I'm certainly glad the last caller saw through the smokescreen of the opposition's continued focus on only more expensive homes. In the scenario that the lady from Oakland was talking about, her mother-in-law moving from Solano County, and she specifically said that it would cost her mother-in-law another $200,000 to purchase a condo in Oakland. Our property tax fairness initiative is fair in the sense that her mother-in-law would pay market rate on that additional $200,000 in value in property taxes. So more expensive. Allowing somebody to purchase a more expensive home is just one component of this. This has no limitation on the cost that somebody could purchase. And if they did purchase a more expensive home, they would be paying their fair share of additional taxes. And only 10 counties out of 58 counties allow an intercounty transfer. This is a problem. Again, parents, seniors need to move to be closer to children, grandchildren, health care, and they may not be, and in many cases, they're not in the same county that they live in. So this this addresses a need that is a component of the causes of the housing crisis in the state of California.
Still like to know your thoughts about the question a listener raised about flipping houses, but also let me append something to that. Diana wants to know, what's to stop adult children from using their senior parents to buy houses that then get tax sheltered when inherited?
House flippers are almost always investors. This property tax fairness initiative addresses homeowners that sell their primary residence and move to a new and purchase a new primary residence. So it would exclude the vast majority of anybody flipping a home.
You mean there's actually a process by which you can decide that somebody's flipping or not flipping?
Well, certainly when somebody purchases a home, they declare whether they're a primary residence.
Well, I'm going to get to more of our callers, but you want to respond first, Graham Knowles?
Yeah, I think the supporters are focused on asking us all to ignore the purchase of more expensive homes under this initiative. But our communities cannot ignore what the devastation that would occur as a result of pulling $1 billion out of local government services and $1 billion out of our schools. The 10,000 teachers that we would lose and the children that they are serving cannot afford to ignore the component of the initiative that would allow an upgrade to homes, to more expensive homes, and to do so on an unlimited basis. Our communities cannot ignore and pick and choose different parts of this proposition. We only have the option to vote it up or down, and we should absolutely vote it down based upon the severe negative impacts that would occur all across the state of California.
I'll go back to an email from Brandon that I read earlier, Steve White, and go to you. You may recall he said that it seems to him that housing, at least in the Bay Area, is majority owned by older white residents and investors who have multiple homes. And he says this appears to be another method to make the rich richer. Please, I think this is a plea to you, Steve White, change my view and give me a better perspective.
Well, I don't know how that Brandon can quantify that homes are owned by, first of all, older white individuals and investors that own multiple homes in the state of California. You know, when you look at the Bay Area, just a modest family home is right at $1 million. These are homes that families, you know, people have raised, regardless of their race, they've raised their families in these homes. They've contributed to the economy in the local area. And now they simply want to move closer to their children and their grandchildren. These aren't investors. These are mom and pop.
Let's get some more of your calls aboard here. Again, Graham Knowles is Executive Director of the California State Association of Counties, and Steve White, whom you just heard, is President of the California Association of Realtors. And next caller is from Atlanta, Georgia. It's Jim. Jim, welcome.
Welcome. I haven't formerly lived in the Bay Area. I can understand a thing with house prices. I have two questions. One, really, why don't you limit it just to one transfer, since typically, if you're an older person, you're only going to move once to be closer to family. And secondly, it sounds like, am I correct that it is indexed? So you take the cost basis of the current one and index that. So say someone's paying on a cost basis of $200,000. If they buy a $1 million home, they would pay then the additional tax on the $800,000 difference.
Well, if you got, say, a home, let me just clear this up because it may be confusing. You get a home that's assessed, say, at $300,000. You sell it for $700,000 and you buy one for $800,000. Your new assessment is $400,000. Just simple arithmetic. And let me go to you on the first part of the question from that listener, Steve White. Why not just limit it to one, like it is in the 10 counties now?
Statistics show, our data show that people are living longer. Seniors that make an initial move on the death of a spouse or just downsizing often move because they're living longer. They often move more than once, primarily in many cases for health care. We are a mobile state, 40 million people. People move all of the time, and seniors tend to follow their family. We have found that seniors, because they're living longer, are moving more than just once. Certainly they plan to move with their family and retire. But what happens when their family moves? What happens when the type of health care they need is located in a different county?
And Graham Knowles, you may want to respond to what you just heard from Steve White, but I'd like to hear your thoughts about what the caller raised with respect to indexing.
Yeah, there is indexing underneath the proposition, so it would be the incremental piece. So it would be the $400,000 that you referenced would be the new property tax basis. And it's under that indexing mechanism that the legislative analyst's office has estimated a $1 billion loss to local government and a $1 billion loss to schools. So even with that in place, it's a massive reduction in available revenues in our communities, and so would threaten our ability to meet those critical demands for struggling seniors, for the homeless-related services, emergency response, parks and libraries, all these services that we rely on in our communities and that we consider when we are making a move would be severely impacted as a result of this proposition and the indexing that is incorporated into it.
There is, however, and I think we need to bring this to light, the realtors, at least from what I've read, are planning a similar initiative in 2020. It would be the same tax break, but it would be closing some of the loopholes that have been part of Proposition 13 to lessen the cost on local governments. Is that not true, Steve White?
It is true. We have submitted for title and summary for the November 2020 ballot an initiative that would leave Proposition 5 intact, but it would also close some loopholes that the Legislative Analyst's Office has identified to the legislature that they may want to look at for additional revenue.
We'll get another call on, and that's you, Bobby Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning. In the interest of full disclosure, I want to say that I take advantage of Proposition 13. I bought a house from a relative, so I get that advantage. I also have stayed in my primary residence for 17 years, so I get that advantage. I would be interested in it expanding for the state as it's written now, and so that you could transfer outside of county one time after 55. But I'm concerned that the way that this law has been written, it would actually drive up home prices. I think that we're all familiar with Freakonomics and unintended consequences, and it seems that it would maybe make an incentive for purchasing a cheaper home to then transfer.
What about her concern there, Steve White? Would you address that? Drive the prices up?
Well, certainly.
Up? Yeah.
This, as written, this Proposition 5, the fairness of it is it takes away the unfair moving penalty from homeowners to purchase a home to replace their current home, which in many cases is a larger family home that is underutilized by the occupant owner. This allows that 55 and older senior homeowner to move to a home that they need to move to. For example, in the case that the caller from Oakland had mentioned, from Solano County to Oakland to be closer to family, and it would allow them to purchase more expensive, less expensive, but it just allows Californians, seniors and disabled homeowners to move to the homes that they need to move to.
Well, here's a comment from a listener, and I want to get your response, Graham, now. So the dovetails. This listener writes, "This proposition makes so much sense to me. My 74-year-old mother-in-law had to pay market rate when she moved from Santa Cruz County to a similar home in Contra Costa County to be near her children. Vote yes." What would you say to that listener, Graham Knauss?
Well, I think it certainly underscores the challenge we have in California, which is that we do have a significant housing crisis and a housing shortage. And the way to address that is not to create a significant tax break for the wealthiest among us that would be paid for by our communities, but rather to have a focused effort related to addressing the shortage of housing. And this proposition, regretfully, would not build one single new home in California for in this state. And so the reference to the supporters' reference to this moving penalty, let's be clear, the realtors are being very misleading on this. There is no such thing as a moving penalty in California. They made that up as part of the marketing of this proposition. It's not a real thing. But what is a real thing is that prices in California continue to rise, and in part they continue to rise because there's an industry that makes its revenue off of having the highest prices possible. And there are the 43,000 transactions that are part of their estimate related to this proposition will likely do exactly that as well, as your caller pointed out. And so to the degree that we end up with a proposition that actually increases prices of houses, we're going to end up in a far worse position, even for those individuals that are making a move. And at the same time, we will lose billions of dollars that are funding critical services at the local level. It's just a risk that we cannot afford to make as a state.
McGraham, we're getting a lot of listeners wanting to know about how you define more expensive house. Let me give you an example here. Lennon asks, what exactly is the definition of a, quote, more expensive house? Is this more expensive than the cost of the original price of the house one is leaving, or the current market price of the house one is leaving? And if it is the current market price, is it the sale price or the list price?
Well, that's a whole lot right there in terms of the indexing. So this is where the indexing comes into play in terms of the definition of a more expensive home. And the difference between where folks are starting relative to their tax base and the value of the new home that they are moving into. And so to the degree that someone is upgrading their home, which this proposition would allow, it would allow the lower property tax compared to all other buyers seeking that same property. That would, you know, doing so would result in lower property tax for the state and for our communities.
Again, Graham Nouse is executive director of the California State Association of Counties, and Steve White is president of the California Association of Realtors. Steve, I wonder what you say to Maureen, who writes, I'm an East Bay realtor, and I think Prop 5 is a bad idea. My seller's big obstacle is the federal capital gains tax, and that's not going to change. Why move, save $10,000 a year in property taxes, but pay, say, $250,000 in one-time federal capital gains tax?
You know, I'm really glad that Maureen brings that up, because California homeowners who've had a tremendous increase in, regardless of their price point, they've had a tremendous increase in the equity in their homes, regardless where they live in California in most cases. And we show that those folks, that's real money. We show that those folks are willing to pay whatever the capital gains tax is in order for them to move. Now, keep in mind that capital gains tax doesn't kick in, and for a single individual, it's $250,000 in gain, and for married individuals, it is a $500,000 in gain that is exempt. So, but to the extent that they have to pay capital gains tax, that's actual money that they have because they have equity in their home. Where we find seniors are frozen, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, frozen in their homes, is that they're on fixed incomes and they can't afford the higher property taxes on their fixed incomes. And the opposition is very, very focused on specifically stating that wealthy people, there are millions of homeowners in California that are not wealthy people. These are people that have worked hard, they've raised their families in communities. And they simply need to move closer to families and health care. And this, it's just not fair that they had to, in the case of the relative that moved from Santa Cruz County to Contra Costa County, it's not fair that they have to pay a higher property tax after raising their children in Santa Cruz County and selling that home and purchasing a replacement home closer to family in Contra Costa County. So don't let the opposition fool you that this is only for wealthy people purchasing more expensive homes. This is for all Californians that are homeowners, regardless of their income, regardless of the price of their home. They can purchase more expensive homes. They can purchase less expensive homes. So really read the facts here.
You want to respond, Graham Nouse?
Yeah, I think we need to remain focused on what the implications are of this proposition, which are to remove billions of dollars out of our services system that is funding the very services that we all rely on each and every day in our communities. And so to the degree that the realtors believe that that's a acceptable cost to jeopardize the ability of communities to provide services in order for a select few to get a benefit out of this proposition and an unlimited number of times, then that's just a path that we don't believe makes any sense at all. And the comment of the supporters just a moment ago about folks are willing, would be willing to take the hit on capital gains, but somehow they're not willing to take the hit on property taxes, just doesn't add up. There's far more risk on the other side of that equation. What we really need to stay focused on, all of us should remain focused on, is about how do we address a critical housing crisis in the state of California. This would not take, would not build one new home. It would not address the housing crisis in any way. And as a matter of fact, it would make it significantly worse and likely increasing the cost of housing.
Excuse me, you're listening. I have to do an ID here. You're listening to Forum. We're talking about California Proposition 5, and this is a fundraising period. We welcome your support. Go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. I'm sorry, you want to finish your thought there, Graham? I had to go to a
point. Yes. No, thank you. Totally understand. So it just, we cannot afford, our communities cannot afford to pull that amount of revenue out of services at the same time that housing prices are going up as a result of this proposition. It is not worth the risk.
Well, let's take some more of your calls. We get to Sam next. Sam, join us.
Hello. Yes, I'm very concerned about some of the arguments that I hear about this issue. So first of all, everybody who would be able to use this proposition to move is not wealthy. So that's first of all. Second, they're not all moving to more expensive houses. Third, every time you do this kind of transaction to move from one house to another, you have costs. You have moving costs. You have transaction costs for the real estate. So it's not something that people have an incentive to do again and again, especially if they're older or disabled. So those are some of my concerns. So the other thing is the impact on taxes. You have to consider the complete issue. You can't look at it in an incomplete and inaccurate way. So when somebody is selling the house to buy another house, somebody is buying the house that is being sold. So that person most likely is going to have to pay at the higher tax rate. So that's one thing that's going to help the counties. So if the people who already own the house, if they stay there, they're going to continue to pay at the lower rate. The person who buys it is going to pay at the higher rate, and that is going to help taxes. So one question that I have is, what is the impact if this proposition passes on the previous proposition 60 and 90? Are those eliminated, or do they stay in effect? Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for the call. Steve White. Well, let's go to 60 and 90 first. What happens to them? I mean, they're superseded by this?
This would supersede. It's an update for 60 and 90 because they simply don't work for Californian homeowners. They only allow somebody to purchase a home. If you purchase a home under Proposition 90 and you move to where your family is in another county, and you purchase a home that's even $1 more than the home that you sell, you cannot transfer your Proposition 13 tax basis. So Propositions 60 and 90 would be updated with Proposition 5 when it passes.
All right. I think I have another question about Prop 5 from Mike in Oakland. Mike, go ahead. Mike, are you there? Well, I don't know where Mike is, so let me go to Cynthia in Oakland. Cynthia, good morning.
Yes. Hello. I think the previous caller sort of touched on what I was going to say. However, I'd like to put some numbers to it. We moved into our house about 35 years ago and paid $270,000. Today, our house is worth about $2.5 million. And if we were to sell it, the new property owner would be paying about $40,000 a year or more in property tax versus what we're paying, less than $7,000. So you can see that's a big upside for the city of Oakland. So it's not all downsized for cities. It's, you know, I don't know how you would financially analyze all this, but there is an upside.
Well, there's, you're right. There would be, we alluded to this before, and I wonder, Graham Nuss, if you have any figures about the difference with property taxes versus the money that would be lost in, by the legislative analyst's office again.
Yes, absolutely. And first, congratulations to the caller relative to the increase in equity in your home. That's fantastic. And you are right that there's math, there's upsides and downsides related to any transaction. And so there are some pluses that are part of it. However, with the pluses and the minuses, the net impact from the legislative analyst's office is $1 billion a year to local government and $1 billion a year in lost revenue to schools. So it's more than a couple $1 billion every year net loss after all the upside has been considered in terms of what the impact would be on our communities.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Let me thank you, Graham Nuss, who is, again, Executive Director of the California State Association of Counties. Good to have you with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Steve White, President of California Association of Realtors. Good of you to join us as well, Steve. Thank you.
My pleasure to join you.
And we also can't be joined by many people who are sending in comments, but you can continue these comments and continue this conversation online. Sorry we couldn't get to yours or the calls that we couldn't get to, but it's a big issue. KQED.org and our website, and you can continue. In fact, we encourage you to do this, the conversation. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Stay tuned for more right here on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.